We're coming to you from the beautiful Rainbow Room, high atop St. Pete Athletic in the Warehouse Arts District. My name is Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My guest today is Owen Robertson. He is executive director of Lab Theater Project in Hillsborough County. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Bill. Nice to be here.
It's good to see you. This is your first time in the news studio.
It is.
Pickleball studio,
yes,
as
yes.
we like to call it. And it's different from last time. You were saying it's been a couple of years since you've been on
it
the podcast.
It has been a couple of years since I've been here.
So it's great to have you. We're here to talk about Wendy Graf's The Cross and the Saber, which is new this weekend and goes through July 19th.
Correct, yep.
And it's an unusual play. I think you rejected somewhere the word dystopian. It's essentially a futuristic.
It's not dystopian. We pitch it as in the not-too-distant future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird because we started working on this play 4 months ago, and every time we work and everything like that, something new happens in the news that we can look at the play and go, well, look, there it is.
There it is. So it mirrors life in a lot of ways. Go ahead and set up the plot for me.
Sure.
Reverend Prophet is in jail.
Yeah, it is. There's a young pastor who gets arrested for preaching sermons that are not in line with what the government requires churches to do politically.
Ooh.
So he's put in jail, and then he's charged with treason because he's of the nature of his preaching and everything. And so we kind of go through that journey of him being in jail, and then we go to a court trial.
It's that gap between religion and government that has gotten a lot smaller in the future.
And in this play, that gap is gone. In this play, the state is absorbing religion and mandating what churches need to do.
There's a bit of Terminator in all this.
It's like a little.
The machines took over.
There's also the rise of the AI in this play, and so there are three characters that are AI. They call themselves synthetic humanoids.
But they're played by actual actors.
There's no CGI or anything like that. And they look normal and everything. There's nothing, weird in their makeup or anything like that.
They
appear normal, and that's the intention.
The character Stone, let's talk about Stone,
sure.
who represents the government, who comes and talks to Reverend Prophet
mm-hmm.
in the jail and says, you're screwed, basically.
Basically.
Interesting character, and he represents the government, but he's not without feeling.
Well, as his arc through the play, he gets altered. Mm-hmm. So his programming changes because he's listening to this story and listening to this logical argument from this pastor, and he's dealing with the courtroom that's completely absurd.
Yeah.
And is recognizing that these things aren't jiving up. And then Stone actually reads the pastor's book that got him in trouble.
Right.
And it causes him to start changing how he thinks.
Well, in the beginning, he's basically a tool of the government.
Oh, yeah, he's a total tool.
And the thing is that the prophet is a human being, and it's all about Christ's teaching mm-hmm. and all of the stuff that's the bedrock of a lot of, what people believe in the world. And the government has basically usurped that for its own purposes.
Correct.
Can this happen? Is it happening? Let me put it to you that way.
My cast was all asked that question as we were doing promotional interviews, and every one of them to a cast member, including myself as director, says, yes, I think we're living in it now.
It's frightening. It is dystopian. It's pseudo-apocalyptic because then it's even more frightening because, as you say, you can turn around and go, I see parallels. With the way
totally.
Government is
totally.
Moving in on us
Look,
today.
This notion of that we're a Christian nation isn't accurate. We're a nation in which you have the freedom to practice Christianity, but we're not a Christian nation. We were never designed to be.
Right.
But then this play deeply explores that.
What Lab does, folks, if you're not familiar with Lab, and you really should be, is Lab produces original works. These are shows that haven't been produced. On occasion, there's something that maybe had one production somewhere. Was The Cross and the Saber ever produced before?
No, Cross and Saber has never been produced. The only play that we've ever produced that had a production was last year when we did So Long Life, and we were the ones who produced it, and that was just our 10-year anniversary thing.
Then I'm mistaken. For some reason, because Wendy Graf is a name that I know.
Wendy is a recognized playwright and creator out in Los Angeles. Wendy's history takes her back. She goes back to writing for ALF.
I saw that.
Yeah, she used to write for ALF.
And who would have expected a reference to ALF?
Yeah, I know. Talk about the obscurity. But and she also wrote for Murder, She Wrote and everything. So she's got. But then she kind of moved away from film television to playwriting, and she's had, gosh, almost what? She's got 30 works.
How did this cross your transom, as they say?
So Wendy and I did a production. We produced a play of hers, Wednesday's Child, a few years back. And
okay.
And I also, my first introduction was Wendy was being in the job site's East Coast production of her play, Behind the Gates. That's where Wendy and I met. I was an actor for that one.
That was how many years ago?
That was 2014.
No, that's not that many years.
It's not that many years.
So you're right. I moved back to St. Petersburg.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so
a while ago,
Wendy submitted this originally to me in 2022, and I kind of looked at it and I was like, there were some technical requirements she wanted for it, and I was like, and she had some casting requirements too that I was like, I don't think I can meet this.
So technical requirements? You're talking you need robots with
the no? Button. She had this part of her conception. And her idea of the show was to have these multiple video screens broadcasting at various points throughout the show.
Oh, the presence
show.
Of the great leader. Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The great, there's a great leader channel that should be running and other things. And so it was a little, for our company and for what we have budgetarily wise, it was just a little too much, you know, for me to take on. And I also thought, when I was looking at it, I was just like, this is just a little much.
Kind of like a three-ring circus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little too much for us to handle. But, it also, just at the time she sent it, I think, we were under Biden. And things seemed to be looking up and getting better and everything.
I see where we're going here.
And
yeah,
I didn't.
Okay.
And I just was like, I don't see this play.
Suddenly in 2025 or whatever it was when you're putting the next season together.
She sent it back to me.
Suddenly it's a little bit more on the nose.
Yeah. And I was like when it came through and I knew it was on the nose, especially when I put it in our slate and presented it to the company, and we had a 45-minute debate about it in the company.
Oh.
And I stopped the conversation at one point. I said, this is exactly why we're doing this show. It's because you all are debating about it and having questions about it and whether we should do it or not. And that means the answer is we're doing it.
Was part of the debate, this might alienate people.
Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So where's the argument there? I mean, to me, it's sort of like this incredible forewarning of what can happen.
Well, so here's the argument originally. When we first started discussing it, we were only in 4 or 5 months of Trump 2. So it hadn't started to become where we are now.
Right.
And so the argument was, this might be too much. People might be, our audience might be offended by this and everything like this. Now we're where we are here. We're getting, we've got this show and, we've got, a show that hopefully, audiences are going to sit through and go, yeah, I'm uncomfortable because this is too accurate.
You aim for discomfort. That's an important factor, an audience factor for something like this.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't go out singing the songs. You don't go out thinking, where are we going to go have dinner?
No, this should walk you out of the door going,
you're disturbed.
You should be disturbed. You should be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's a glimmer of hope at the end, and that's pretty typical for Wendy. Wendy likes to pull the veil back and look hard at things.
Yeah.
And she likes to make people make audiences ask questions, and question what they're seeing and stuff. But she likes to give a glimmer of hope.
Well, that'll be the conversation in the car on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I was saying is.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the big question is going to be, does she or doesn't she?
Yeah.
At the end there and everything like that. So for sure.
And the she in question is played by Catherine Yacko, who
it is Catherine Yacko,
one of our favorite actors here at Arts Alive. And let's talk about your cast.
Sure.
From the top down, give us the rundown on who's playing.
Okay, so the lead man is Isaiah Prophet, and he's played by Aaron Ford, who's a new actor to our community.
Mm-hmm.
Just wrapped a show over at Early Bird for his first show in the area. But he's fairly young. I think Aaron's 23.
I was just talking with, I think, Stephen Reardon a few days ago about the young performers who are coming up.
Yeah.
It seems like every year there's one or two who are just incredible.
Aaron's,
to see you have a new name.
Well,
up.
As a matter of fact, actually, I got two.
Okay.
So Aaron Ford is playing Prophet. Then Hippy Griswold's playing Stone, which is the first android you encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Yacko's playing Prophet's wife, Adina.
Yeah.
Then you encounter Prophet's father, Papa Gabe, who's played by Michael McGreevy.
Michael McGreevy, we've seen at Lab numerous times.
Yeah, and Michael is a fixture in our theatrical community. He's been here, what, 30 years?
Let's talk about, let me stop you there before we finish up on the cast and talk about Papa Gabe for a minute.
Sure.
He's Reverend Prophet's father, and he is, how much do you want to tell people?
Oh, I'll tell him.
Spill the beans.
He's a megachurch preacher.
Yeah.
But he is a megachurch preacher who is completely embraced the great leader.
If you are a fan of the Lord of the Rings, folks, he is Saruman, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a perfect connection.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when I read it. Yep. And not that I think in Lord of the Rings terms all the time, but there it was.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, anyway. there certainly isn't. So anyway, he's and he comes in to talk to his son.
Yeah, he comes in to try and convince his son to abandon his path and everything, and his son refuses. And then there's some things that happen in that moment that cause trouble for Papa Gabe. And then he has to throw himself at the mercy of the great leader, because of course the great leader is always watching. And so the great leader is watching this whole thing going on.
I just have an image when I read it. I have this image in my mind of what the great leader looks like, and I'm not going there, but it's how you do that. And
in the show we have the great leader channel.
Yeah.
And the Great Leader channel appears and everything like that. And the Great Leader, the actor we put for the Great Leader is me.
That's why you were pointing to yourself. You couldn't see that, folks, but he's going, it's me.
It's me.
And he's always watching. He's omnipresent. And he's not exactly Big Brother. And he's not exactly not really has your best interest at heart. My God, the Great Leader has the Great Leader's best interest.
Always.
At heart.
Always.
And it's scary.
Yeah,
and what else can we say about it? But it's prescient and it's current.
Well, and it's about what the great leader wants.
I also wanted to ask you about Hippy Griswold, whose first name is Zach, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's Zach,
and he's been he directed for you recently.
He directed our first show for this season. We did a co-production with CRH Productions, which is Hippy's company.
Yeah,
And we did the Trail of Oregon.
Yeah, that's right. I've not met him, and so I'm basically just, why is his name Hippy? Hey, Zach, why are you Hippy?
It's a cool name. He used to have really long hair, and that's how it happened.
Oh, so did I, but I got old and
he fell out. He's still a relatively young guy, so he's still got a good head of hair, though. For this show, we've made him cut it down really a whole lot.
I can see that. He's stone?
Yeah, he's stone. Great.
And we were talking before about mannerisms, because as you say, a couple of the characters are AI.
Right.
But they're not like robotic.
Nope, they're not robotic. We came up with a couple conventions about how they stand, how they move, how they speak. And even we have them having what we called our DTP, data transfer protocol.
Mm.
So if they're getting information, they have a specific action they take, which coordinates with a lighting effect.
And it's clear to the audience, and because they introduce themselves.
Well, the first time we meet Stone, it takes a few pages before you realize before he makes it clear he's a synthetic.
Yeah, and that's kind of a roadmap for the whole leader society, that everything is synthetic, and and the odds are stacked against Reverend Prophet. And he realizes that early on.
Sure,
what am I going to do here? But it's an adventure to find out what happens. Let's go back to the cast.
Yep.
Who do we miss?
So next character we get to see is Stone A.L., who is the defense attorney appointed to Prophet,
right,
who is also a synthetic, who is programmed with all of the best defenses possible, which most of them involve that you're pleading guilty.
Yes.
He can generate legal documents in nothing flat. Cuts down charges.
There are also fax machines and printers.
Of course.
I want to see how you do that one.
Yep. but he comes in and everything, and he's prepared, ready for defense and everything like that. But he's played by Cameron Revillo, who is making his professional debut on our stage.
Okay.
He's a young man who literally hasn't had much training or experience, and he came in raw and fresh. And so he's another new fresh face coming into our community, and it's really cool. And after that, we go into the courtroom. We meet the judge, who's played by David Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Stone PA, who's the prosecuting attorney. also AI, and that's played by Holly Marie Weber.
You've got a reasonable sized cast.
Yeah, it's
here.
A big. This is a cast of eight, yeah. And then actually, well, sorry, cast of nine because we also have the voice of Alexa, which is the Samantha Parisi does the voiceover.
Oh, great.
For our electronic.
Yeah, she's great.
Yep. So there's our guest.
Let's talk about Lab. For those of you who haven't been there, again, I'll say it again. You really should go there. You're right on the border of Ybor City in Tampa.
Yep.
And once I figured out, I used to complain to you all the time that it was hard for me to find because I live way over here in the Seminole section of Pinellas County. Once I found the easy way to go, it's easy.
Yeah, it really boom, boom, boom. Is. You pop off the downtown exit and pop across over to Scott Street and take Scott Street across to Nebraska, turn left on Nebraska, go up one block, and there it is.
You're right there. And you're actually not that far from StageWorks.
No.
Which surprised me because I have to go over – have to. I go over there a lot. I have the pleasure of going over there a lot.
We're literally – I'm 1 mile from StageWorks and JobSite.
Yeah.
Either direction.
There you go. See, it's the theater center of Hillsborough County. These three locations. And Tampa Rep is usually at one or more of them at any given time.
Right.
And there's also Think Tank and all kinds of amazing theater here. But Lab, as we were saying before, has this thing that they do, and Owen is very, very dedicated to this, of only producing plays you haven't seen before. You didn't see it on Broadway. You didn't see it on the Tony Awards 2002. Oh, I remember that. If the community theater isn't doing it, these are original works. Tell us why that's your.
So I started
modus operandi.
Yeah. So it kind of came up as I was working in my MFA for playwriting, and I started to think about things. I've always had the ambition to have my own theater company and want to do that.
Yeah.
I had a company up in Virginia for a little while that and then my day job relocated, so that changed everything for that, but. I came down here and I wanted to do a company down here, and the big thing was, how do I create a niche that's unique?
Right.
And so I decided, as Michael McGreevy says, so you decided you're going to open a theater company, and then you decided to add an exponential difficulty of going only new works.
pretty much.
But the new work idea.
I decided to make a theater company that doesn't have that built-in name recognition. Recognition, yeah.
Exactly. But the reason for it is because we as a community, as a society, need to have something that's incubating new work. We have to have new work. Otherwise, we're just going to keep seeing the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Come For Away is a great play. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Every community theater in town is doing it right now. There are three productions of it going back to back to back.
Mm.
Okay? And that's the thing I never want to do. I never want to do that. I want to put original work in front of us because we have to, as creators and artists, right, we have to keep supporting new work. Otherwise, we don't get the great works that have come through Broadway that everybody so loves. Somebody has to take a risk. And so I decided I wanted to take a risk. And so that's what I do.
The other side of that coin of taking the risk is, I've been to Lab when it's full more times than the other, but I've also been to Lab when there weren't that many people there.
Yep.
I don't know this show. I mean, I'm going to go to the Mahaffey Theater and see a tribute band tonight. How do you deal with that? Like sometimes
it's
sometimes you're the bear and sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield, whatever that is.
Yeah. It's feast or famine for us. it just depends. Some shows just we get the pitch right, we get the synopsis right. And it draws people in and it makes people come see it. And then sometimes it's just, I've had, my own show, So Long Life, had a horrible attendance. Yet everybody who came to it.
That was a great show.
That's it. That was it. It's just but it's a tough show.
That was McGreevy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was McGreevy the aging actor.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So
he's intense, that guy.
He is. And he's intense as Papa Gabe. And he's perfectly cast as Papa Gabe.
That's so cool. So, what's the answer?
The answer is just educating my audience and getting audiences in and getting them to understand that you have to support new work. You've got to come in and see it. All of us want everybody in the door for live theater. All of us want, God love the Straz and everybody who's bringing the Broadway tours and everything like that. But, if you're really a patron of theater, you really got to go to the small theaters and see the work that's being done because they're not doing all of the big name shows.
Yeah.
And especially a company like ours, you're getting a chance to see theater, you know, see these works by these playwrights. 10, 15 years down the road, these might be the Tony Award winners. And you got a chance to see
Lab is, what, 10 years old now?
Yeah, we're in our 11th season now.
Okay, so has that happened? Is any? Is
I haven't had anything.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, no,
here,
no. Nothing's gone award level, but we certainly have gotten some shows that have moved on and gotten other productions.
Yeah.
One of our early shows in the new space, we did Lies. Lies has now had two other productions done for it. We've gotten several published. We actually sell the published. All our published scripts are sold in the lobby. So our shows that we've produced originally are now published and everything like that. So those are available for people, but. Yeah, it's there. The shows move on. Usually, I'm going to say 50% of the time, playwrights finish with us. They usually go back and do some rewrites, and the show. So it's getting a facelift and getting pushed on. And
do they work with you during the process? I mean,
some do. Some come back to me. As a matter of fact, the last show we did, X Does Not Equal X. That playwright just sent me his revisions. And has asked me to take a look at it and see what the changes he's made, because he discovered things in watching it and realized, yes, there are changes I needed to make.
It really is a lab, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the reason why that name was chosen.
That's fantastic.
You know, we the process we work through and the way we work with playwrights very often leads to rewrites before we start memorizing lines.
Yeah.
You know, because there's almost 2 months of time that goes on before playwrights get a production script to our cast.
Anything else you want to talk about before we run out of time here?
I think just, you know, really and truly, you know, I'm getting ready to give a talk at Cafe Con Tampa in a couple weeks. And, you know, there I'm going to really focus on talking about new works as a form of resistance.
You have said, I'm going to close with this, you have said in numerous places already that you timed this for America 250.
I did.
And explain that. I mean, this shows us what could happen.
Just very quickly on my background and everything, I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
So this is a veteran-run organization.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of my country. I'm proud of my service. I'm proud of our 250th anniversary. We should celebrate it and everything like that. But we also should not look away from what it is and what's going on. And I chose to put this show here as a form of holding up the mirror for our company and our society and saying, it's right now. It's here. Come look at it. Come look at it. Matter of fact, the 4th of July, we're doing a matinee, so we're not competing with everybody to have the festivities of the 4th of July.
Oh. So go see the cross and the saber.
Go see the cross and the saber.
And then come out and watch the fireworks.
Be in the air conditioning for the afternoon, and then in the evening, go eat, picnic, watch the fireworks.
What time is the matinee on Saturday?
Matinee on Saturdays at 3 o'clock.
Wow. You run through July 19th.
We do.
And Lab is, give us the address.
812 East Henderson Avenue, Tampa, Florida, 33602.
And the website is labtheaterproject.org. And that's theater the way it's supposed to be, T-E-R. Thank you. My eyesight's going. I'm looking at the screen here going,
The American.
E-R. Yeah. E-R. The American spelling.
The American spelling.
Yeah, correct. Theater as in the building. What's next at Lab? I mean, you do a kind of a linear year-long.
We do. We run the normal calendar
season.
Year as opposed. So
right.
Our next show is a show called As We Like It, which is kind of a play on As You Like It. And the story, really loosely, the story is a family is out in the woods practicing a rehearsal of As You Like It until two strangers walk in, and then you realize that, one, we're in the woods, but we're in the woods in Poland in 1942, and the two strangers are Nazis who come into a Jewish family that's hiding in the woods practicing As You Like It for the mental health of their daughter.
Wow.
It's a play about lies. It's a play about living a lie, and if living a lie is healthy or not.
Who's the author there? Who's the playwright there?
Oh, gosh, you're going to put me on the spot. Oded.
Okay.
His last name just went out of my head, but if you're on my website, it's right there.
That's the Trail to Oregon. Keep talking. No,
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it's
Oded Gross.
Gross. Thank you. Oded Gross. Oh, Oded, I'm sorry. Anyway, it's Oded Gross, and he's one of the really cool things about this play. This is our first play that is a semifinalist from the Eugene O'Neill Center.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. If you know the Eugene O'Neill Center, making it to a semifinalist is no small feat.
That's a recommendation.
Yeah.
And it's September 17th through October 4th.
Correct.
As We Like It. And
as
again,
like
go to labtheaterproject.org, theater with the E-R on the end. Got that one right that time. Owen Robertson, what a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Bill, we love being here. Thank you very much, and thank you for your support of theater and the community.
And we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.